Church, I want to say it's also a time where God is doing something amazing. He is strengthening the church during this time. Many times in Scripture, especially the times I've seen here lately in the New Testament, the times where God's people have been scattered, there's always been a purpose behind it. In James chapter 1, the purpose, as James addresses the 12 tribes of Israel that were scattered abroad, he says, let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And we know that in the book of Acts, surrounding the events of the stoning of Stephen, we know that the gospel was spread, and the gospel was spread, and it was moved over to the Gentile nation. And we praise the Lord for that. And God, no doubt, is doing something in our day. Yeah, there's a lot of alarm. There's a lot of chaos going on. But God is doing something great through live stream media. And we are grateful for that. Church, just hang on and hold out. And I assure you, we will see the benefit of all of what we've been going through. Let me say one more thing and then we're going to pray. I sent out a column post yesterday concerning the month of May and our worship services. I do feel strongly at this time that we will and that we should continue our services through Facebook Live through the month of May. I realize Mother's Day is in the month of May. Graduation is in the month of May. But there again, this isn't just for one person being left. This is a team effort. This is everybody involved. We're all taking a hit on this. And I just want to say that this is for the benefit of the body of Christ, the whole church. And if things change, if there's a significant decrease in the COVID-19, then we'll revisit that. Nothing set in stone. But we want to protect our people. We don't want to rush into things and there be a relapse and then nothing good come from that. So let's continue to be patient, church. Let's just embrace the day and what the Lord has each and every day. And I promise that God will have something special for our waiting. So with that said, let's pray this morning. And then I believe Brother David has a special for us. Heavenly Father, we come. In Jesus' name, Lord, we're thankful and we're grateful for who you are, for what you do, Lord. We're people who have to feel and touch to know things, God. And such as Thomas was, where he said, Lord, unless I feel in your hand the nail prints, where he told the disciples, unless I feel the touch, the nail print in his hands, I will not believe. And then, Lord, when you showed up, Lord, he didn't even have to touch. He said, I believe. And so the message in that is, blessed are those who do not see and yet believe. Father, I'm thankful that the children of God have a blessed assurance, a confidence from another world inside our hearts that we're able to believe and not see. Lord, this is the blessed hope that we have. We know Jesus is coming for us. We know that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's the assurance of salvation, and we're thankful for that. This morning, Lord, we pray for all of these requests. Oh God, we pray for Barbara Ann. Lord, whatever is the situation today, Lord, we pray that you would be with her, strengthen her, touch her in a very, very mighty way, Lord. Be glorified in her situation. Strengthen Barbara Anderson would be our prayer as well, that you would be glorified in and through her. Strengthen Calvary Baptist Church, every life, every person, every effort, Lord. Those who have hosted Zoom Sunday school class meetings this morning, Brother Allen and Brother Jeff, we appreciate that, and that brings God great glory. We're thankful for that. Lord, all of the requests, all the praises, we just lift them up to you now. Father, we just take a moment and we remain still. And we ask that you do a work this morning through your word. Let there be a demonstration of spirit and power and truth. I pray that you would touch our hearts, soften our hearts, plant your seed. And I pray by the time that we leave today that, Father, we would have a little more understanding of your word and the knowledge of your will concerning our life. We love you this morning. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm glad we serve a great God. Amen. I'm glad for the promises of his word. When he told Joshua, "Do not fear, for I am the Lord thy God." Amen. And when he told Jeremiah, "I am the Lord God Almighty. Is there anything too hard for me?" God's a good God. Yes. Grateful for his love and for his mercy, and in our times of greatest fear, grateful for his presence. Lately I've been looking back along this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no better way to tell you than to say, God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. Through it all, God's been good. Times replay, and I can see that I've cried some bitter tears. But I felt his arms around me as I faced my greatest fears. You see, I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt. As his grace rolled down around me, undeserved, God's been good. In my life, I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. For through it all, God's been God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love was my beginning, and his love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything he is. But the best way I can say it is this: God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. bless beyond my wildest dreams. When I go to sleep each night, though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. For through it all, God's been
praise the Lord this morning. The Lord has been good to us. And Paul says, though we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. And praise the Lord for the Lord's goodness this morning. Times where we went off track, yet he kept going, kept us on track. Praise the Lord for the goodness of the Lord. Thank you, Brother David. Appreciate you that are watching. We do not take that for granted. And if you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to be in the book of Psalms, chapter number 118. Psalm 118, we were in Psalms last Sunday. We're going to be in Psalms this Sunday, at least this morning. The book of Psalms, chapter number 118. We're going to look at one verse this morning, and that is verse number 24. Let me go ahead and say before we read this verse that I really try to share this verse and speak on this verse once a year. I do this because it's a realistic reality in our life, because it speaks of the day and time in which we live. It speaks of a day. How many times in life do we take days for granted? How many times in life do we allow the opportunities of every day to slide and go past us without acting upon opportunities to do certain things? And so this morning I want to just take the time and read Psalm 118, verse number 24, and give a little background information, and then bring about a certain message for this hour. Let's pray, and then we'll read, or at least we will bring about this verse this morning. Heavenly Father, we come one more time in Jesus' name. We pray that you would help us this morning to rightly divide your word, rightly apply your word. Pray, Lord, that someone may be helped, God, that may need help this morning. May we all be strengthened as a result of gathering around your word. Then we'll give you honor and praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. He says in Psalm 118, verse number 24, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." I want to say this morning that we have before us a daily psalm of praise. A daily psalm of praise. Now we know that this is a psalm of David. And some commentators believe that this is a psalm that surrounds David's enthronement, when he actually was given the throne to Israel. And as a result, this verse says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." I don't know about that, but that's at least one way that, or one angle that some look at this verse in this chapter, David's enthronement surrounding this day. But also, we do know that there's definitely a prophetic flow in this chapter. Verse number 25 and 26, notice he says, "Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord." This is prophetic. This is a prophetic flow that's coming from this chapter, and it's in reference to Palm Sunday. If you can remember verse 25, it sounds very familiar. Save now. Those are the words that embody the word Hosanna. Save now. Hosanna. Verse 26, "Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And because of this prophetic flow, many say we have verse 24, "This is the day which the Lord hath made." Concerning this prophetic day, we will rejoice and be glad in it. And so whether it's David's enthronement, speaking of that day, we will rejoice and be glad in it. That's one thing. Or whether he's talking about Palm Sunday, we will rejoice and be glad in it. That's another thing. But I believe also there's a third view of this verse. And he's talking about just the Sabbath day. He's talking about Sunday. Notice what he says. He says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." The Lord's day. The Sabbath, Sunday. "This is the day which the Lord hath made." The Lord's day. He says, because of that, we will rejoice and be glad in it. And so there's many different references and angles you could see when it comes to verse number 24. But at the same time, I believe that we do not need to lose sight at the very practical sense of this verse. And what I mean by that, it's where you and I live on a daily basis. This morning, I want to look at this verse as an opportunity to act. Not just when it talks about Palm Sunday, not just when it talks about the Sabbath, not just where he may be talking about David's enthronement. Those days, we will rejoice and be glad because of those events. But I'm talking about every day. "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." In this verse, there is opportunity in any giving day to act. To act. Now, this morning you may say, opportunity to act in what regard? Well, number one, to praise the Lord. Look what he says. "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." What a challenge that is this morning during the time, the day and time in which we live in our world when there's a pandemic taking place. Because whether we like it or not, the truth still remains that this day came about because God wanted it to. And we have an option this morning. Whether we are going to rejoice in this day and be glad in it, or we're going to crumble in fear in this day. And so when I see this verse this morning, I see that there's an opportunity to act. in the regard of praise. But not only praise, but in the opportunity to act in the regard of being thankful. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Also, another regard to act in the manner of walking with God. This is an opportunity. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You see, each and every day it's an opportunity to act in the regard of walking with the Lord, praising the Lord, being thankful unto the Lord. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Not only that, but I believe there's an opportunity to act in this verse, to praise the Lord, to be thankful to the Lord, to walk with the Lord, but to be used by the Lord. Each and every day that we live is an opportunity. He says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. But also you could say, we will, or we desire to be used by God. We will be used by God in it. We will walk with God in it. Not only that, but I believe that as we look at this verse as an opportunity to act, we can regard many things. We can regard praise, being thankful, walking with God, being used with God, being used by God, also helping others. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will help others in it. Talking about a specific day, any day. Again, when we survey this entire chapter, many people say that it's David's enthronement verse, at least. This is the day which the Lord hath made. Many people say it's prophetic in nature, and we see that bared out in verse number 25 and 26. It can also mean it's a Sabbath day verse, and truly it is. This is the Lord's day. But in a very practical sense this morning, I believe as we look at this verse, it is a verse of opportunity. A verse of opportunity. And this morning, I want to use this verse, and I want to preach for a few moments on this subject, seizing the day. Seizing the day. Grabbing the day. Taking advantage of the day. David said, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will, ... You fill in the blank. Let me ask you this morning, what will you do with the day that God has made today? Will you crumble in fear because of our current situation in our world? Will you share God's love in our world today from however, I don't know, whatever means you may have to share God's word? Will you continue to walk with God in your day today? Will you be thankful in your day today? Will you give God praise in your day today? Will you help others in your day today? There's many things that we could do in our day, seeing that every day is a gift from God. It's an opportunity to act verse. And so, seizing the day. Let me mention three things this morning, and I hope it'll be a help and a blessing to all of us. Number one, every day is a present. Again, there are some things I want to mention in this verse that hold true when it comes to seizing the day. Number one, every day is a present. Look at verse number 24. He says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. Did you get that? The Lord has made this day. This day today, May the 3rd Sunday, is the the very handiwork of God. Let that sink in a minute. This day, May 3rd, today, it's the very handiwork of God. He says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. Did you know that God has designed this day for you and I for a specific purpose? You have a place to be today. Now, your place to be today is at your home, not in the local church, not at least Calvary Baptist Church. But God has designed each and every day for a certain purpose for you and I. And so we see that every day is a present. Today was handmade by God. More specifically, and giving more meaning to this idea that today is a present and it was handmade by God, He allowed you to awake this morning. He allowed the sun to arise. He allowed you to inhale breath, air into your lungs. And so therefore He has made today. He turned the light on, the sun. He gave you air to breathe. He's given you a family for companionship. He has placed desire within your heart. You woke up this morning and said, I want to read my Bible. Therefore, you read your Bible. He has put that desire in your heart. You woke up this morning and said, I want to watch Calvary Baptist Church on TV. And so, therefore, you're doing that now. You woke up this morning and said, I'm hungry and I feel those pains. I want to go and grab some breakfast. And so, therefore, God has handmade each and every day. He has allowed the sun to arise. He has allowed your eyes to open. He has placed desires in your heart. And there is a purpose for you each and every day. Every day is a handmade present. It's a handmade gift. Let me mention this. The things behind us are the past. The things before us are the future. And the things right now is called what? The present. And it's called the present because it is a gift. Right now, the present. It's a gift from God. He has allowed you to arise. He has allowed there to be daylight. He has allowed your stomach to grumble to consume food. He has given you a roof over your head. Desire for His word if there's a desire there. God has given you a day to live. A purpose in your life to fulfill. And so, therefore, we need this morning to seize the day. Seize the day. What is it that God wants you to seize today? You know, one of the easiest things to do during this time of pandemic is to crumble with fear. And I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't been no super spiritual hero during this time. I mean, you know, I try to put on my best in front of my family, and I try to dig deep to my and apply the strongest faith I have in Jesus. But when I'm alone and it's just me and Him, there's times where I experience waves of doubt and fear. There was one time specifically when I experienced a tremendous wave of fear. I can't explain, and it was early on in this pandemic, I can't explain the way that I felt other than feeling absolutely hopeless. I was watching the news, and it was early on, and they were pumping this stuff out like it's going to take a year and a half before there's a vaccine. Grocery stores and supply houses and supply chains are going under. Everybody's going to lose their jobs. Everybody's going to be sleeping under a bridge. You know, everybody's going to die. All this stuff is coming out, and I was listening to it, and I felt the feeling of hopelessness. And I knew right then and right there, I had to change my approach to the season of life we're in. Because God does not give His children a spirit of fear. He does not give us this spirit of fear that we're to crumble under. And I want to say something. Ever since that day, there has been a change in the way that I view this thing. The media, this pandemic, all of it, it does not have power over me. Listen, I'm not no super spiritual giant, no super spiritual hero. I just know that the devil and demonic forces are playing off this thing. And we, as God's people, have to bask and abide in each and every day because we have a calling, because we have a purpose, you see. Each and every day is a gift. It's a present. And the enemy, and the media, in the world, they want us to be so caught up in what's going on out there. And all of the negativity, we will lose sight of our day. We will lose sight of our present. We will waste our gift. And so that night when I was sitting there and I felt the way I felt, I decided right then and there that we were only going to take in 10% news. Because 90% of it is fake news. 90% of it is washed down news. 90% of it has went through all these other avenues of news. And by the way, you'll catch wind of news even if you don't watch news. I said all this to say this, that we have got to seize the day. Seize the day. And it's hard to seize the day when we're fearing the day. Listen, we are children of light, not children of night. We are children to be children who rejoice and not children who live in fear. And David says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That means even during a pandemic, church. And I'm not playing down or making fun of anybody's emotions or feelings. We have family members, elderly family members, who haven't been out of the house in 2 months. We know it's a critical time. We know it is. But there is a spiritual side to this. We are not hearing 100% true news out of the media. A lot of this that's being pumped into our living rooms is political. And I'm not getting into politics behind the pulpit. But a lot of the Democrats are wanting to sink President Trump behind this so that they can be elected and their leaders during this time. Listen, we know that a lot of people are suffering mentally. And by the way, May is Mental Awareness Month. And so tonight, this morning, we, not that we are of any higher degree of anybody, but we do, as scriptures say, condescend of men of low estate. Listen, brothers or sisters, whoever you are, who may be fighting discouragement and depression this morning, we're down there with you. We feel for you. We're praying for you. We know you're battling fear over this. We know that perhaps your finances and your job loss and things along those lines, we know that's a real thing. But at the end of the day, either Jesus is Lord at all, or He's not Lord at all. If He's not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. And I know sometimes we throw those terms around cliche style, but really? Bible faith, Bible salvation, that's where the rubber meets the road. If you've done all that you can and you're still in the storm, listen, you have got to find a place to lower your anchor, put your faith in God, and trust Him for resources this morning. It's not God's will to crumble in fear. If you have lost a job and resources are getting low, you pray, and then you seek adequate resources. I'm not saying you go out on the street corner and beg. Listen, if we were in that situation, I would be the man of the house as I am now, and I would seek out adequate resources. God has never failed one of His children yet. But as we get back to our verse this morning, season the day. Seizing the day. David says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will. A conscious effort. A decision made. All circumstances don't have to be right. Keep in mind, David ran his whole life. He ran from Saul, Absalom, other enemies. Last Sunday morning, we talked about how he was hiding out in enemy territory. He was hiding out in Gath. David is always on the run. But he said, I'm making a conscious effort. Everything doesn't have to be right. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Church, listen. Every day is a present. The past is the past. The future is the future. Now, this period of time which we're abiding in is called the present because it's a gift from God. There are 60 seconds in a minute. There's 60 minutes in an hour. There's 24 hours in a day. There's 365 days in a year. You know what that means? We have 365 gifts a year from God. What will you do with the gift you have today? So what's our responsibility every day with this present, this gift? It's to rejoice. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. What's our responsibility with this present, this gift every day? It's to rejoice, it's to be thankful. What's our responsibility every day? It's to walk with God. What's our responsibility every day? It's to know His will. What's our responsibility every day with this gift, this present He gives us? This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will help others. We will know God. We will draw close to Him. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Talking about seizing the day. Seizing the day. Number one, every day is a present. And what I'm doing this morning is I'm just mentioning some things that hold true when you and I set out to seize the day. This holds true whether we set out to seize the day or not. Every day is a present. But notice this. When it comes to seizing the day, we set out to seize the day. Number two, every day there are problems. Not only every day is a present, when we go to seize the day, we're to know that every day is a gift, it's a present. But when we go to seize the day, we're to understand that our attempts in doing that we will encounter problems. Every day there are problems. Listen to what Job 14:1 says. Job 14:1. Man that is born of a woman is of few days, full of trouble. Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Job literally is saying here, we only have a few days on earth, and they're full of trouble. How about that? And so every day is a present. Every day is a gift of God. And we're told that we are to seize the day and make much of each and every day in our purpose from God and praising God and helping others. But wait a minute. Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Isn't that true this morning? We have a troubled-filled day trying to please God. We have a troubled-filled week trying to be fathers and husbands and daddies and mamas and workers on the job. And listen, it's hard at times to do the right thing in a world that is sick with sin. Yet we have these responsibilities and desires to do things right. Trouble is involved. Job said, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Church, I want to say we only have a few days to seize the day. And while we're trying to seize the day, do not fall apart when trouble comes. Many times you will start your day, and in your heart you've decided you are going to have a great day at work. You're going to come home and have a great family night at home and go to bed and everything's going to be great. But do not fall apart when your plan of that falls apart. You see, because in this life, there's going to be trouble trying to please Jesus. In this life where we are trying to rejoice and be glad in each and every day that we live, there will be trouble. There will be problems. In my estimation, me personally, when it comes to seizing the day and pleasing the Lord and doing best in our responsibilities, there's at least two areas I feel that we all struggle with. And we all have the potential of struggling with. I know I do. Every day there are problems. And when it comes to seizing the day, this, number one, this is at least one of the potential problems. The past. We're talking about days here. This is the day the Lord hath made. And so while I'm trying to serve the Lord in this day, while I'm trying to be the husband I should be in this day, the dad I'm to be in this day, the worker I'm to be in this day, sometimes those days back there cause me trouble. You say, what do you mean? Well, you see, sometimes the old devil or myself brings up things, brings up memories of bad decisions I've made. Sometimes there's regret from the past that maybe I'm having a vulnerable time. Maybe I'm having an emotional day. Maybe I'm having a not so good day trying to serve Jesus. And you see, sometimes the enemy will bring up decisions that I've made from my past that I'm not proud of. And these are things that I'm ashamed of. These are personal regrets. These are things that have been confessed. These are things that have been repented of. These are things that are in the sea of God's forgetfulness. So why are they coming up today? Only two reasons why they're coming up today. Maybe three. Two reasons why they're coming up today. Number one, my own flesh is bringing them up because I'm being hard on myself. Number two, the devil is bringing them up because he wants me to be hard on myself. Or a loved one is bringing them up because they want me to be hard on myself. One of three reasons, really. One of three reasons why a person struggles in their day with moving forward because of decisions of the past. Sometimes it's their own self, and they struggle with their decisions they've made. Other times, it's the devil bringing up their past and causing regret. But then it's a relative that brings it up. Listen, if you had asked God to forgive you, and you have repented of that thing, it is over. It is finished. I don't care who remembers it. I don't care if your flesh remembers it. I don't care if Slewfoot himself remembers it. I don't care what family member remembers what you did in times past. If you ask God to forgive you and you repented of your sins, that thing is forgiven. And whenever you're tempted to think about it, you say, self, Satan, and family member, it's in the past. It's in the blood. And I'm moving forward in my day. You see, I think when it comes to everyday problems and seizing the day, I think sometimes we struggle with the past. The past. You see, I'm dying to get out from behind this pulpit. I think I got a panoramic view. I think sometimes, am I on camera? Whenever we get back in church, I'm going to be out behind this pulpit. I think sometimes what happens is we get to going on a particular path and things are going good. And then it's either self, Satan, or a family member or friend that does not like what's happening. Therefore, they bring it up. Satan doesn't like it. He brings it up. And listen, even for some weird reason, our flesh is contrary to the Spirit of God. Our flesh wants to be lazy. Our flesh wants to sin. Our flesh wants the lush life, but doesn't want to pay and work and earn our way in this life. Listen, sometimes it's the flesh, sometimes it's family, other times it's the enemy. And so we go to sit out on this pathway where we're doing good and doing right. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We're trying to serve Him. We're trying to serve others. We're trying to walk in His will and His purposes and plans. But then there's these struggles. Again, Job said, man that is born of a woman is of a full day and full of troubles. When we go to seize any particular day and make opportunity of it, you can rest assured the past sometimes will be a problem for you. But then other times, it's the future. You say, what do you mean, Brother Justin, the future? I can understand the past when I'm seizing the day. I'm walking down this new pathway and things are going well. But, here's the past, regrets and all these things. But I'm forgetting about them and now I'm doing good again. What do you mean the future? This is what I like to call the what ifs. Well, what if I lose my job? And the current home I'm living in, I'm not able to pay for it. What if I lose my job and my automobile or health insurance? What if my health wanes and I leave this earth and my family's left behind? You see, equally negative on your life and mine is thinking of the past in a negative way, also thinking of the future in a negative way. If you're trying to embrace each and every day, to know it's a gift from God, and to walk in that way and embrace everything it has for you and be a blessing to others. Sometimes it's the past that will cause you problems. Other times it's the what ifs of the future. Think about it. What if something goes wrong at home? What if something happens to my wife and she gets sick? What if something happens to my daughter? How am I going to pay for college for my daughter? This is the what ifs. This is the how am I? How's it going to get done? Keep in mind, these are some legitimate things, at least I think, causes us trouble in life. Every day there are problems. Sometimes it's past problems, decisions that are made. We experience regret, whether from ourselves, from the devil, or from family or friends. And then sometimes it's for futuristic things. Life is going good. But then we're thinking, how long will life go good? What if this happens? What if that happens? I want you to take your Bibles for a moment and turn to Philippians chapter number 3, if you would. Philippians 3. Paul addresses this, one of my favorite verses. Philippians 3 in verse number 13. Paul, he just gets through mentioning how in verse number 10, he wants to know the Lord and His power of His resurrection. He talks about the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. But in verse number 13, here's what Paul says he does in life in order to move on. In order for him to take each day and seize the day for the utmost glory to God. He says in verse number 13, Philippians 3, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or arrived at perfection. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, the past, regrets, what so-and-so has said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You see, what we're left with is a stretch. On this hand, and I've shared this before, on this hand, Paul is saying, I'm forgetting some things. I'm letting it go. On this hand, Paul is saying, I'm reaching for some things. I'm not worried about the what if factor. I'm not living in regret anymore. I'm letting that go. I'm not worried about the what if factor. I'm reaching for Jesus. I'm letting go of these things. But he's saying it's a stretch. It's a stretch. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching. The word reach here means to stretch, reaching forth to those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of high calling in Christ Jesus. Paul is stretching. You want to know, church, what it's like each and every day to seize the day? It's not going to come with ease. It's not going to be like a bed of flowers, like these TV preachers. I'm a TV preacher for now. But it's not like these TV preachers that, you know, it's all about, oh, you got to, you know, sow this seed of $1,000, you'll reap $10,000. No. Look, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Sometimes the devil brings up my past, but I'm letting it go and I'm reaching for God. God says I'm forgiven. God says that he has a purpose for me. You see, it's a stretch each and every day. Why, this old world will have you to believe that the Christian life is the easiest life to live. And I beg to differ this morning. There are problems in seizing the day. And Paul says what he does, he forgets some things, and then he reaches for some things, and then he presses toward the mark. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Listen, church. God has given you a gift today, a present today. He has allowed you to wake up. He's allowed the sun to arise. He's given you desires and urges, all because he has a purpose for you. But it's not going to come without trouble. There's going to be times where you may reflect on your past and the insufficiency of yourself for the future. But what you have to do is you have to forget the past and reach out to God for his sufficiency. And keep marching forward to the prize, the Bible says. Let me mention one more thing and we'll be through. Back in Psalm 118, verse 24. Talking about seizing the day, these are some things that hold true when it comes to seizing the day. Every day is a present. Every day there are problems. But when it comes to seizing the day, every day there's a potential for presumption. What do you mean? Well, somehow man thinks there will always be a tomorrow. Somehow, some way, as we live our lives every day, there's just this potential, if we're not careful, to presume there will always be tomorrow to do thus and such. James talks about it. Solomon talks about it in Proverbs. In fact, in Proverbs 27, verse 1, he says, boast not thyself. Boast not thyself. Don't brag. Don't put too much stock. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We don't know what tomorrow holds. That's why don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. It's taken me a while to learn that. Growing up, and especially in my 20s, I had the tendency to, and I still plan, but if it's within reach of doing today, I'll do it today. Because in my 30s, in my late 30s, I began to realize that the times that I said I'm going to go ahead and do today and not put off tomorrow, something came up. Something always came up tomorrow, and I was glad that I did that thing today that I was going to do tomorrow. And I want to say this morning, church. Maybe there are some things that you need to do today that you don't need to put off for tomorrow. Maybe there's someone watching who is not a member of the church. Maybe there's someone watching who doesn't even go to church. Maybe there's someone watching And if you die today, you're not sure that heaven will be your home. And you have kept on saying, as people have probably been inviting you to church, I'll go with you to church next Sunday. I'll go with you to church another day. Don't put that off tomorrow. You don't know what a day may bring. I invite you in just a moment to bow your head and ask Jesus to come in your heart and be the Lord of your life. It's really simple. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." ABC. A is for admit. Admit you're a sinner. And it was that sin that separated Adam, Eve, from God and his presence in the garden. B is, and by the way, that sin was passed upon all men, for all have sinned. B is for believe. Believe in your heart that Jesus died for you, was buried, and rose again the third day. C is for confess. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And with a mouth confession, Romans, and then you follow that on down through there, verse number 10, you'll find out, as with the heart man believeth, and the mouth confession is made to salvation. You see, don't put it off till tomorrow. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today. Maybe you're watching this morning, and maybe you're already saved. You know that when you die, heaven will be your home. And maybe, I don't know, maybe you just need to bow and just say, "Lord, I just want to be more precise about what I do in each and every day." Whatever the situation may be. This past week, or at least within the past 2 weeks, we heard of a Smyrna officer that got killed in a car accident early one morning, and he was hit by a drunk driver, and they had his services, I believe it was yesterday or the day before, and it was at Truist Park, where SunTrust Park used to be. And I'm pretty sure that that officer at 34 years old, before he went in on his shift, kissed his wife goodbye and his children. And I don't know, maybe have said, "Honey, kids, when I get back, Daddy will throw the ball with you. Honey, do you mind making that special dinner? And then we'll watch that special movie after dinner." He never returned, but they had his funeral. My prayer is that the Lord would teach all of us to number our days, that we may apply wisdom. Proverbs 27:1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." You see, when it comes to seizing the day, every day there is a potential to pursue, and there's always going to be a tomorrow. What would happen if we handle business today? Every day there's problems. We could think about the past and its failures, the future and its insufficiencies, but also every day is a present. It's a gift from God. "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." The message this morning is simply this: seizing the day. Whether we're in a pandemic, a panic, or whether it's a normal day, everything's blown over, God's still the same, and he has a purpose. Heavenly Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you. And as we continue to give our virtual invitation, I pray that someone would do business with you, someone would invite you in, some Christian would just renew their relationship. Whatever the situation is, I pray there'll be free course. In Jesus' name, amen.